Today we're going to talk about making new memories. Have you ever had a difficult time where you wanted to go back to a simpler time? I remember sitting in a calculus examination that it was supposed to last 3 hours, 4 hours. I think I spent most of the day on this one examination and it was one problem. Spent most of the day on it. My professor has now retired year before last. I remember him and saw him years later and thanked him for helping me see the light that I probably didn't have a future in calculus. But I remember sitting there and thinking, man, oh, for that simpler time, 2 plus 2 equals 4. Or when Audrey and I first got married and, you know, we're out on our own mostly, and the bills are coming in, working full-time, going to school full-time, and she gets pregnant, and we're, you know, all of that is going on, and I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to study Hebrew and to learn Hebrew and really apply myself to that. And I remember thinking, man, life was so simple when Mom and Dad paid all the bills. And I didn't have to think about any of that. Are you with me on that? We all have that desire at times to retreat to the past because, and it's funny what happens when we, in our memories, we edit the past, don't we? Especially when we're recounting it. Oh man, instead of making a C+ on that test, oh man, by the time you tell the story a few times, you've made an A- on it. Or, you know, instead of going, you know, 1 for 4 in a walk in that ball game you played in, you know, by the time you tell the story a few times, you were 4 for 5 and you made the saving play down the line, you know. We can add things to the memory, can't we? We can enhance it. And sometimes we can edit out the bad stuff. Unless it serves our purposes better. And then, oh, the dark times. Oh, they were the worst. We didn't have food back then. You know, we just looked at each other, you know, at mealtime and we ate every third day and all that stuff. You children have heard your parents, your grandparents tell those stories. That's the thing about the past. You know, right now in our country, there are a lot of stories that are being told about that. By the way, before I forget, I hope it's on video somewhere, but I heard a news report this week. Kid cut school, little kid cut school so he could hear the president. And the president singled him out because it must have been a group. It was mostly adults and this kid is there and he wants to hear the president. And so the president goes and meets and finds out that the kid had cut school. So President Obama wrote him an excuse. Oh man, I thought it was great. what a story. In our country right now, yeah, in our world, it would be easy to look back and say, man, if we could just get back to those days or to that time. You know, what if we could say today there is no nuclear weapons threat on the face of the planet? What if we could say that there's the nutcases that are out there who have, in some cases, the nuclear capacity, that they don't exist? What if we could just eliminate poverty, hunger? What if we could go back to a time? And the problem with that what if thinking is we don't have that opportunity, do we? You can't go back. You got to make some new memories. I want you to follow the story here in Daniel. I want to read a good bit of it here in Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. This is 605 B.C. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. Remember, these vessels that were taken out of the temple would later be abused and used. You know, that's when you get the handwriting on the wall in this story. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of the officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom there was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding, discerning knowledge, who had the ability for serving in the king's court. He ordered them to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and he appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they would enter the king's personal service. Now among them were the sons of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. To Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Now, stop there for just a second. What has just happened? What have we just read? A tremendous, Rick was talking this morning about the winds of change. A tremendous change has taken place. The Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, has besieged Jerusalem. Now, a long time before this, years before this, the Assyrians have already, the tribes in the north, the northern kingdom, has already been scattered. Now, they weren't lost, by the way. That's a misnomer. They weren't lost. They were scattered all over the earth, literally. So you've got the southern kingdom left. And the southern kingdom has been in turmoil for some amount of years. There's been outside influence. The former king, Josiah, he had chosen the wrong team in the Battle of Carchemish, because you got the Assyrians who are still on the horizon there. You got the Egyptians. You got the Babylonians who are the ones who are the up-and-coming world government that is there. And they chose the wrong side. It puts them at odds with the Babylonians. And so finally the King Nebuchadnezzar can come after the Jews. He can come after the southern kingdom of Judah. And he does. And you have three deportations that take place. He comes, besieges them. 605, one takes place. 597, one takes place. And then 587, another one takes place. Give or take a year or two, whoever's calendar you're looking at. But generally three. And the way they did the deportations, with the first one, they come and they get the best and the brightest. because their object was to get these younger men who they would bring into their gun, who already knew the culture of the conquered people, and they bring them in and train them also so they would be dualists. They would be fluent in their own home culture, but they could use them as they train them in Babylonian culture to manipulate the people. They would have their own puppets trained up. And they got the smartest of brightest. And Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these four young men were the best. I mean, they obviously excelled in everyone's mind. Here they're taken to a foreign country. They're deported. And they're faced with a brand new culture. What are they going to do? Well, they could have used the time to complain. They could have spent a lot of time thinking about the past. Well, I've been taken to this new culture. What am I going to do with it? They could have been pining away for the good old days. And by the way, the good old days weren't so good what they left, because they left turmoil. But before that, there had been great times for the Jews. They'd been great times. They could have recounted all of that. They could have retreated to the past. But what does Daniel do? Daniel embraces where he is. He takes a good look at all of it. Now, we're not going to read the next part, but when they're offered this food, he says, no, he cuts a deal. He says, look, let us eat our kind of food. And then at the end of this period of time, take a look at us. And if we're not better than the other guys, then we'll change back. Look at verse 17. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. And Daniel even understood all the kinds of visions and dreams. At the end of the days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king talked with them. And out of them all, not one, was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. By the way, do you know what their names mean? Daniel's name means God is judge. Now I want you to see how prophetic these names would be. Hananiah's name means Yahweh shows grace. Mishael's name means who is like unto God. And Azariah's name means whom Yahweh will help. Now, these names become predictors of what their ministry would be. In fact, their names give you an outline of the book, an outline of God's plan, and an outline of God's purpose of what He was going to do with them. Now, I want you to see what the culture tried to do immediately. The culture tried to give them new names. In fact, today when I hear people say, oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I immediately always, and y'all know me, you know, I'll say this again and again, that's not their names. Their names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And Daniel's name was not Belteshazzar. And by the way, in each of their Babylonian names, they were giving homage to one or more of the Babylonian deities by their name. So you see, the Babylonians got it. They knew that there was a battle going on. They knew that the battle lines had been struck. And here's Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and God is blessing them.
blessing them so much so that when all the whole group, and we're probably talking hundreds of these youths that are brought in there, the Scripture says none was like them. They shone out above the others, and Nebuchadnezzar noticed them, the king. Scripture says the king talked with them. Out of them was not found any like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in his realm. And Daniel continued on to the first year of Cyrus the king. Now, I want you to know that Daniel's service there, he embraces where God has placed him. He doesn't spend his time pining away in the past, wishing for the good old days to come back. He embraces where he is. Now, I want you to see also, he doesn't embrace their culture. He doesn't do that. He doesn't compromise. And in fact, if you read the book of Daniel, which is one of my favorite books in the Bible, if you read it, you see this beautiful story of this man who, through all the changes of his life, cultures, governments, tumbling, world things happening. I mean, he is right in the epicenter of what is happening in the world for his entire adult life. He's right there with all the change that is going on. He's doing that. And in each case, he's embracing the change through the power of God. And God is doing wonderful things through his life. Look at the next chapter. I want you to see this setup because it's the setup for the prayer that comes in the middle of chapter 2. But you need to hear this. Beginning of chapter 2. Now in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Now, one of the things that these advisors that he brought in, he wanted them, remember I said they were going to be trained? They were going to be trained in all of the wisdom of the Babylonians. But part of that, that training was this training that was almost occultic in some ways. It was training in their magical arts. It was training in interpreting dreams. It was all this kind of training. But from a very not God point of view. And here you have Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who are representatives of God. In fact, if you read their discussion, they were just trying to keep the law, God's law, in their lives. So, now enter the king with a dream. King gave orders to all the magicians, the conjurers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, to tell the king his dream. So they came in and they stood before the king. Now what would you expect? He brings them in. And you would expect him to do what? Tell them the dream so they can interpret the dream, right? Wrong. He says, not only do I want you to interpret it, I'm not going to tell you what it is. If you're so great, you're going to tell me what my dream is. Maybe they had oversold their position before that. The king said to them, I had a dream. My spirit is anxious to understand the dream. With a man who in him represents, he is the most powerful man on the face of the planet at that time. And you don't want him unhappy. if you're in his service. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell the dream to your servants and we'll declare to you the interpretation. The king replied to the Chaldeans, the command from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb. Your houses will be made a rubbish heap. But if you declare the dream and its interpretation, you'll receive from me gifts and a reward and great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream and its interpretation. And they answered the second time and said to the king, let the king tell the dream to his servants and we'll declare the interpretation. The king replied, I know for certain that you are bargaining for time inasmuch as you have seen the command from me is firm. That if you do not make the dream known to me, there's only one decree for you. For you have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream that I may know that you can declare to me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, this is not a man, there is not a man on earth who could declare the matter for the king, inasmuch as no great king or rulers ever asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, Chaldean. And what they said right there was true. This could not come from a man. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult. There's no one else who could declare it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh. And because of this, the king became indignant, was very furious, and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. So who was the king going to kill? All of his advisors. And Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He said to Arioch, the king's commander, for what reason is the decree from the king so urgent? And then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested the king that he should give him time in order he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah about the matter, and so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Israel. And then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. How about that? God did something that man could not do. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I want you to hear his prayer. Now, Daniel is a teenager at this time. Hear his prayer. Let the name of Yahweh be blessed forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to Him. It is He who changes the times and the epoch. He removes kings and he establishes kings. Man, he's sitting here again. There's no way that Daniel can know what he's speaking. It's so prophetic because he's speaking here in this prayer is about to happen. The epics are going to be changing. The times are going to be changing. The kings are going to be changing. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the men of understanding. It is He who reveals the profound and the hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness. It's one of my favorite phrases in the whole book of Daniel. He knows what is in the darkness. You got anything that's in the darkness for you today? Want to retreat to the past because you know the past? I want you to know today that our Lord is Lord over the present and over the future. And He knows what's in the darkness. It may be hidden to men, but it's not hidden to God. The light dwells with Him. To You, O God, of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for You have given me wisdom and power. Even now You have made known to me what we requested of You. Even now You have made known to us the King's matter. God showed him the dream, and He showed him the interpretation. You read the next chapter and you'll see. He showed both. You see, Daniel embraced four things. He embraced change. It was not his choosing. He didn't want it. He didn't want to have to leave town. He didn't want to be deported to miles and miles away, be snatched from his family. He didn't want any of that. But he embraced it. Secondly, he embraced the challenge. His new surrounding, he could have complained and whined about it, but he took the lemonades, the lemons that had been dealt to him, and he made lemonade. He embraced the challenge. He also, thirdly, embraced the charge that had been given him. He saw himself from the very outset, from the way that they dealt with Ashpenaz, the king's advisor, who was over these boys to train them up. And he cuts this deal about their diet, about eating vegetables and what they would drink and all of that. And he's trying to keep the law. He is honoring God from the very beginning. He embraces God's charge that God had sent him there. And finally, he embraces the fact that he is chosen. God's hand was on the life of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. As their names portend, God is judge. Yahweh shows grace. Who is like God? Whom Yahweh helps. What if Daniel and his friends had not embraced the change? Look at all the memory that would be lost. The wonderful story of God's revelation of this dream and how here the most powerful man on the face of the planet begins to listen to a Hebrew teenager to give him wisdom about how to rule his kingdom. How about that? Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel standing firm in prayer. Daniel's whole life of prayer there as they set him up, all the manipulation that would take place. The fourth man in the fire as his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, are thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow. Look at all of these stories. The story of the prayer when he has to get the angel Michael to come and intervene and because of the messenger, another angel that had been dispatched with God's answer, and Michael gets involved, and the warfare that takes place, and the answer to Daniel's prayer is there. All that, all those wonderful memories, those wonderful stories, this book is rich with them. But they would be lost
if Daniel had continued to live in the past. Where are you living? Where are you living now? It's easy to complain. It's easy to grouse and gripe and I don't like this and our government isn't doing that and all that. Hey, listen. Doesn't mean you have to agree with things. What it does mean is you have to embrace the one who is over all. What did Daniel do? When presented with the problem, I read it to you. Then Daniel went to his house. He informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah about the matter so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed. And what happens when God blesses Daniel and his three friends? Even the Babylonians are blessed. Because the rain of God's blessing that comes down on them wets the Babylonians too. And had each one of those kings listened to him, every one of them that listened to him was blessed. And everyone that refused to listen to his counsel was cursed. He knows what is in the darkness. You may be looking at your life today. You know, we've been in this series of messages about having a faith for the times. You may be looking at these times, and granted, there have never been times like they are on the face of the planet. Right now. Never. Never. The most secular historian will tell you that. Every economist on the planet would tell you that. Though there are few out there trying to get rich off of this saying, oh, I knew it back then. Son, you're lying. You'd have been shouting it from the housetops, but you weren't. No Johnny-come-latelys to this. Make money now off of something you supposedly said back then. No, there's never been anything like there is today. But I want you to know that Jesus is still Lord. And He knows what is in the darkness that you can't see, that I can't see. And He is asking us to embrace the change. To embrace the charge. To embrace our calling, to embrace the fact that we have been chosen by Him. Do you believe you're chosen by Him? Yes, you are. His anointing is upon you. It's time to get busy. It's time to start acting like the one we pray to knows what is in the dark. What request do you have of Him today? When you go back home and you gather your friends and your family together and you present your request, what is the request you're wanting to know? What is the life and death decisions you've got to be making today? The things that are on your heart today. Are you gathering your brood together and saying and laying it out before God and say, hey God, shoot up here amongst us. One of us needs some relief. We need you now. It was a serious prayer. Are you doing that? Or are you just like most of those who were deported to Babylon? Let the culture change them. And right now, our culture is changing
everybody and everything. What are you going to do about it? Let's pray. Let's ask God. Let's seek His face. We can't go back to the good old days. The past is only as good as what we can remember that God did. We've got to embrace Him in the present and look to what He's going to do in the future. Let's pray. Lord, I'm asking You now to be the interpreter of this message for the application, the parts of our lives. Lord, in this room are people that are dealing with heavy decisions, family decisions, job decisions, future decisions. What to do and how to do it. Lord, we need You. We need You today. God, I am asking You that our church, this body, could come and embrace the calling, the anointing that You have given to us for this city. God, I pray for Your power to come. Lord, it is our desire to be a blessing. All the people that our lives touch, Lord, the hellhole that is going on around us, the places where the enemy is stealing from us, he is robbing us blind, he is robbing the people blind around us. Lord, the spirit of division and the spirit of murder and the spirit of deceit and lying that takes place every day. God, we're asking for Your reign to come. Not just Your R-A-I-N, but Your R-E-I-G-N to come in this city. Come, Lord, and come through us. Lord, that we can be a beacon, just like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. A light, as Daniel spoke in his prayer, a light in the darkness. Lord, come. Come. The altar is open. You'd like to come and pray? If you'd like to go get someone to come and pray, this is your time.
as we continue to pray, we'd sure like to get those cards from you today. If you have an offering to bring, put your prayer requests on those cards. And there's a basket in the back, two baskets up here. Today, if you have never received Jesus in your life, I want you to know today, it is He who died on the cross in your place and arose on the third day. And He's ready to come into your life today. By faith, we trust Him. He'll change your life. He'll make you a new person. This is your opportunity today. We'd like to get those cards and your offering from you at this time. I shared with you a couple of weeks ago what a privilege it is to be your pastor, one of your pastors, and to be God's, one of God's way of covering you in prayer. And we pray for you. And right now, I want to pray this blessing over you. If you're willing to receive it, then receive this from the Lord. Okay? It is Daniel's prayer. Close your eyes. Let the name of Yahweh be blessed forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to Him. It is He who changes the times and the epochs. Is He who removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to men of understanding. Is He who reveals the profound and the hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. To You, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for You have given me wisdom and power. Even now, You have made known to me what we requested of You. For You have made known to us the king's matter.
Amen. Go in His grace.